guys, the Vision Activist Show. I'm your weaver of context, Caroline Casey. For coming up, 25th anniversary of the Visionary Activist Show, and this is the last fund drive before that anniversary. God, I hope so. September 5th, 1996 was the first show. So we are here yet again, magnetizing, animating, and spiraling forth the astro-mytho-political guiding story of now, whereby to ride this full moon tide, waxing full moon, so we honor the quintessential trickster storyteller, Scheherazade, who as a Venusian heroine liberates the entire circumstance. And we will include the tale of the Princess Parizada. We close with the powerful, poignant, pertinent last words of John Lewis, who hands us the baton. This is very much his full moon for reasons we will go into. So, yeah, approaching the 25th anniversary of the Visionary Activist Show, I've been finding gold in the archives, and we are proffering a fantabulous collection from these shows, and it is the World Belongs to the Storytellers, Part 1 Visionary Activist Show Collection, for a pledge of $75, or $80, I think, is more magical, or $123.45, whatever. But just to give you a little feel for it, it includes The Winter Solstice 2001, Scheherazade Saves the World. The audio quality, not quite enough for broadcast, but good enough for listening. And it was one of the best collaborative talks I ever conjured, with fantastic Stephen Kent on didgeridoo and Ida Maxine singing and moaning beauty into the world. It's the beginning of the Scheherazade series, completely pertinent to now. That's one. And then offering Sufi Aikido Bodhisattva Trickster Guide to Brewing Underworld Medicine, my presentation at the Bioneers Conference of 2019. That's the last one we've had. And that was with fantabulous musicians, Amakela Gaston, Carolyn Brandy, and Brianna DeMara. We're offering also in this collection the story of Mushkil Gusha. This was me recording in the rice paddies of Bali as my trickster training thing was rife with conflict. And so I told the story of Mushkil Gusha, the remover of all difficulties. It's a simple magic Sufi story about participatory blessing with Balinese night sounds and geckos. There we go. We are offering Naomi Shihab Nye radio show, Ode to Kindness, from August 30th, 2007. Really fantastic. We are offering a show I did with, the last show I did with Janine Benyus, Biomimicry, from October 16th, 2008. We are offering a fantastic show with Karen Brown, co-weaving Etsy World News, restoring intimacy to the world through handcraft. We are offering a really great show with G. Willow Wilson, fantastic author of Alif the Unseen. Every innovation begins with fantasy. It's the Arabian Nights, Jinn, computer code interweaving with the Arab Spring, and more. So all of those things can be yours for a pledge of $75. Or $80, or $123.45, or some fantastic full moon amount. This is a full moon, by calling 800-439-5732, or pledging securely online at kpfa.org. So, off we go. I love Gioia Timpanelli, also a guest on show, a Sicilian storyteller who says, "There are many ways of traveling, walking, crawling, swimming, flying, and how we travel now." Woohoo! Woohoo! So, it is a potent, waxing Aquarius Leo moon. It is about the unique creativity of each of us dedicated to collective well-being. No one better embodies this as John Lewis, whose powerful last words, read by his friend Morgan Freeman, resonate to each of us. We will include towards the end of this show. This is his full moon, the moon being where it was conjoined Pluto in his noon birth chart, with a 150-degree angle to his sun in Pisces and Jupiter transiting it. Jupiter, god of storytelling. He has so much to contribute to us now, you will hear. It's almost his Uranus return. He is a great, dedicated, liberating trickster mentor, good trouble, who does indeed pass the baton to each one of us, that we may feel our dedication etched against his magnificent dedication to democracy and its crucial sacrament of voting. Another guest on the show, Ron Kauk, says, "Freedom is gazing at danger." We're in great danger. And again, for 25 years, we've said dedicated to the trickster within each one of us, the liberating trickster within each one of us, connecting to nature's trickster evolutionary genius against all odds or the odds that trickster likes. So now is perfect. I love Terry Pratchett saying, genius is always sleeting through the universe until it finds a receptive molecule. Whoosh, Shakespeare. So, yes, so let us craft our receptivity. So off we go. Here we are. So, Leo, the symbol for the full moon, which will be in California at 7:37 p.m. on Friday night, but it's all happening now, its image is a sudden thunderstorm brings relief to parched fields. Good to place on our altar of desirable mystery. The sun has just entered Leo, which reminds us create ritual theater dedicated to collective well-being or live melodrama. Take your pick. I love Allison Laurie's quote, the reason academic politics is so vicious is because the stakes are so small. So let's ladle out creativity dedicated to the grand intrigue of the transformation of culture. So there are two things I love to honor about full moon. One is in Dion Fortune's fantastic book, novel, Moon Magic, the great heroine Morgan Le Fay Morgan, priestess of Isis, nature in the modern world. And so she's outside her temple, her world headquarters, you know, each one of our homes, and her mind is besieged with, pettiness and things, and this isn't working, and irritation and fear, and no. And so she walks back inside, and she sees the full moon shining through the window, illuminating the humble vase of flowers that she had dedicated as an invitation for Isis, goddess of nature, to re-enter the world. And she feels this incredible downrush, like, and she says, it didn't matter what I was worried about. The humble vase of flowers, dedicated as an invitation for goodness to enter the world, had clearly been accepted. And in the language of the adepts, I was back on my contacts. I love that antique occult phrase, back on our contacts. There we are. And I also love, from P.L. Travers, the author of the Mary Poppins books, not the movie that she hated. And it's from an ally that I encouraged to read it. And it's a chapter called The Full Moon. The children entrusted to Mary follow her on the night of the full moon, which is Mary's birthday, to the zoo. And at the zoo, the animals speak and are free, and the people are in cages. Mary turns out to have a cousin who is the lord of the beasts, the Hamadryad serpent. And for this special celebration, he gives her his shed skin. Then all dance together in the great chain. And here's the Hamadryad's lessons for the children. Tonight, the small are free from the great, and the great protect the small. After all, it may be that to eat and be eaten are the same thing in the end. My wisdom tells me this is so. We are all of the same stuff, remember. We of the jungle and you of the city. The same substance composes us. The trees overhead, the stone beneath us, the bird, the beast, the star. We are all one, all moving to the same end. I remember reading that when I was six, going, yep, that's how it is. There we go. So we're all at sea, Neptune, but we have a boat, our craft. And frequent guest of show, Max Dashew, says a craft means power from dedication. And we have a tiller, our Saturn, our dedication, steers this boat. And sails. The sails are our willingness to cooperate with nature's guiding genius, and we hoist them now, going, we are willing, we are willing. We want to see ourselves thus, and see who else is riding this tide. So we don't have to create the ocean, the boat, the tiller, or the wind. We want to see each one of us, in our boat, our craft. Let our craft be our craft. With a hand on tiller, sails up, woohoo, here we go. So it is almost 25 years on September 5th, 1996, that this show began with James Hillman, just the best of his most playful, profound, perspicacious, pertinent to now self. And we have been dedicated to encouraging the liberating trickster within us all to spiral dance with the liberating trickster without. So democratic animism, 1996 is also when Democracy Now! Began, although they are 5 days a week, work much harder, get up earlier. But we are Democracy Now! On mushrooms. It's the entheo enthusiast to dissolve colonized mind, democratic animism now. Animism, not a belief, but a set of manners and a set of queries, you know, to meet everyone and go, what's your story? Especially demons in the underworld, you always say, what is your story that we may... John Michael Greer, guest on show, said, if you want people to get nothing done but conflict, convince them they're on one side of something, you will only get heat. What two wants is three, the unifying story, the spiral. We all have a bag of liberating lightning to throw at any circle, you know, to liberate it into a spiral. We go, that's great. It is our craft, storytelling, perhaps like Inanna's little round woven coracle boat in which she brought back culture to humans that we may have a reverent renaissance. We live in a storytelling creation, everything conversing by shape, sound, color, song. And if our manner of relating be informed, reverent curiosity, why then we be back in the choreography of creation, our rogue species. And microdosing also really useful. Microdosing and Etsy, great Karen Brown show, offered again, The World Belongs to the Storytellers, the Visionary Activist Show Collection, yours for a pledge of $75 or more. It's a full moon. It's trickster dollars. They multiply. 800-439-5732 or online, kpfa.org. So, yes, because the microdosing, many shows on such, Pan Sacrament, releasing our resistance to receiving and giving. It's the essence of storytelling in Jupiter. We send forth blessing and we receive it back, you know, in great wealth. And I think the microdosing helps us to be available to beauty, or as great replay guest Dave Gallo says, to be attuned to the rhythmic symphony running throughout all creation. Now, Michael Mann, climate scientist, spoke of planetary wave resonance. And he says one of the great problems of now is that the undulations have gotten stuck. Undulate. We love undulating. A woman giving a TED talk on cannabis was queried, why do people laugh so much when they smoke cannabis? Replied, it's not that the plant causes laughter. We are intrinsically a laughing species. It relaxes us enough to be our nature. I love that. Jaunty, plucky, spiraling out of polarity. So undulating and laughter. Undulating and laughter. Even now, just a little ha 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 while undulating. The flooding in Germany has been diagnosed and everywhere as a result of having imprisoned rivers in shallow cement channels. You know, Providence, Rhode Island restored its river to its curvy undulation. Remember, recent radio guest, the splendid Sean Patrick O'Donoghue, says, Wilhelm Reich says that tight fascia leads to fascism. So laughing and undulating dissolve the spell of despotism. Reuben Snake, late great Native American activist, says, here's a little bit of Native American wisdom for you. If we don't change our direction, we're likely to end up where we're headed. A great ally of mine, Barbara Dunn, said once when I was consulting with her about a troubled and ridiculous relationship, she goes, Caroline, what's the end of this story? Because you already know it. It's like, no, I do, fooey. But guiding each to own autonomy, you know, and our dedication always for 25 years and backwards and forwards to language crafting, that our words, our metaphor, and our story be in accord with our dedicated heart. You know, whatever we say, we get more. So one creative, liberating linguistic contribution to public dreaming right now would be to replace the phrase, fight climate change. Leaders gathered to fight climate change. No. And then fights break out. We wonder why, you know. And just replace it with cooperate with nature. Leaders gathered to cooperate with nature. Feel the resonant difference, the liberating difference. And then, of course, we would say, you know, that humans humbly cooperate with nature's guiding genius. That's great. We are offering Janine Benyus's recording. She has so much to contribute, and a vision for us all to animate would be to convene a conversing between Dave Gallo, deep ocean scientist, James Cameron, storyteller. Three-fifths of Avatar was good, and Janine Benyus. She could have done the fifth act to Avatar and to us all. And so now we turn to the quintessential liberating storytelling trickster, Scheherazade. And many of you may know the frame story, but again, throughout human history, we have frame stories, stories within stories within stories. So the frame story is that, you know, King Shahryar has been betrayed by his wife and his brother too, and they had them executed, of course, you know, and so he says, oh, I will never trust women, that they're wiles and they're wuffed. So he determines that each night he will bed a virgin, and at dawn he will behead her. So the land is getting pretty sparse of virgins, and Scheherazade is the daughter of the Grand Wazir, protected by privilege, but no, she says, I will marry the sociopathic dingbat king to save women and the land. Oh no, don't do that. And she goes, no, 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 watch this. Now, the word Scheherazade means city redeemer, and her sister Dunyazade means world redeemer. And so she says to her sister Dunyazade, make sure, after I've bedded the cuckoo sultan, to come in and ask me to tell you a story. And it's so riveting as dawn comes and she ceases to say her permitted say at the dawn of day. And it's so compelling that the murderous king can't kill her. He's on the edge of his seat or platform or bed. And it goes on for 1,001 nights, by which time they've had three children, and then they get truly married, and she wears a gown embroidered with all of the flora and fauna of this earth. The king must wed the earth, with the king within all of us, regardless of temporary gender assignment. Okay. So within that frame story is one of my favorites, and I will tell it in a brief form, but it's the tale of the Princess Parizade. Parizade means fairy born. And now in the 1,001 Nights, most of the tales are women trickster redeemers. They get edited out somewhat, but Scheherazade herself, the power of the woman storyteller within each one of us to liberate women, liberate men, liberate the land, liberate even the heart of the tyrant, to liberate the entire circumstance. We go, ah. And indeed, King Shahryar at the end says, you are my redeemer. I was a terrible, terrible person. You have saved me. So the tale of the Princess Parizade is one of the stories that Scheherazade tells. Here it is, in short form. So a Harun al-Rashid-like sultan was walking the streets with his grand wazir, and they overhear three sisters speaking in the cool evening air. And the oldest sister says, ah, if I could have anything, I would marry the sultan's pastry chef, and that way I would have sweet things to eat all the time. And the second sister says, ah, and I would marry the sultan's masseuse, and that way I would never have a stiff neck. And the youngest sister says, I would marry the sultan himself and give birth to three children who would help to redeem the world and bring it back to blooming. So the sultan hears this, and he goes back, and he confers with his grand wazir, and they summon the sisters, and he says, I am granting all of your wishes. Right, and so the oldest two sisters are like, oh, fooey, so he marries the youngest, and in the fullness of time, she is indeed pregnant, and the grumpy sisters say, we will be the midwives, and a beautiful baby boy is born, and they take the baby, and they throw it in the river, and they replace it with a hedgehog, and the sultan comes in and goes, a hedgehog? How odd. Well, we'll try again. In the fullness of time, the youngest sister, wife of the sultan, gives birth to another beautiful baby boy, and the jealous sisters throw it in the river, and they replace it with a wombat. And in the fullness of time, we'll try again, says the sultan. The youngest daughter, wife of sultan, gives birth to a beautiful baby girl. Oh, so beautiful. And the jealous sisters throw her in the river, and they replace it with a snake. The sultan comes in and goes, that does it, that does it. You're an evil witch. I'm putting you in prison. But meanwhile, downriver, there's a humble couple who go, a baby. another baby. And they raised the three siblings, you know, wonderful, wonderful, wonderful. And in the fullness of time, the older kind couple die, and the three siblings are left, and they have this beautiful house. It's just wonderful. It's off the grid. It's made with hemp Crete and super groovy, regenerative agriculture garden, you know. And one day a feng shui, well, a dervish person comes to their house and goes, "Oh, pretty groovy, you're off the grid house, you know. But, you know, what you really need is the talking bird, the singing tree, and the waters of life." And that's the problem of having a feng shui consultant come to your house going, "There's always something else you need." Yeah? So they agree. And they're given instructions to, you know, each one separately to go to the base of this mountain, to climb the mountain, and to bring back to the world the talking bird, the singing tree, and the waters of life. And so the first brother says, "I will set forth, and here is this knife. And if it turns red, it means I'm dead." And so the first brother sets forth, and they wait, and they pull the knife out of its sheath and go, "Oh no, it's red. He's died. And the second brother says, "Ah, well, I will go forth." And he says, "And here's a string of pearls. And if they break, it means I'm dead." So time passes. And Parizada, fairy born, pulls out the string of pearls and it breaks. And she goes, "Oh, no, my second brother is dead." So she sets forth. And she comes to the base of the mountain. And she meets the Sufi dervish there and says, "Good sir, do you have any advice for me? My brothers have perished." And he goes, yes, your brothers dismissed me. They didn't, or whatever the thing. "No one's ever asked me for advice before. This is very heartening." And he says to Parizada, "Climb the mountain. And as you climb the mountain, there will be customized voices yelling at you, customized insults. Oh, you voted for Hillary Clinton. Oh, you have fat thighs. Oh, you're a terrible thing. Oh, you're an astrologer in Pacifica. Oh, you're whatever the thing is." And under no circumstances must you turn around or react, or your heart will be turned to stone and your body as well. And Parizada says, "Well, what if I put chamomile in my ears?" And the dervish says, "Oh, you are a very clever person. This is a good augury." And she goes, "And what if I microdose?" And he goes, even better, truly, you might be able to pull this off." So she climbs the mountain. Indeed, there are these voices. "The terrible thing, and you don't have any money." But she's steadfast, and as she gets to the top of the mountain, the talking bird himself is hurling insights. insults, not insights yet. And like, feel the thing, you know. And then she finally gets there, and the talking bird says, Well done, Princess Parizada. You know, you have done it. And here, I will perch on your shoulder and I will come back to the world so that humans can understand the language of birds and be respectful of all creatures and all plants. And here, the singing tree that will bring everything, all the trees in the forest back to life. And you just need a cutting. Here's a cutting. And the waters of life here will just fill a little vase full of the waters of life. And Parizada says, yes, but my brothers, they are dead. And the talking bird says, that's no problem at all. As you come down the mountain, just sprinkle the waters of life on your brothers. But not content with just that, being a woman trickster redeemer, as she comes down the mountain, she pours water, yes, on her brothers, and they come back to life, but she pours water on everyone who could not resist reacting, polarity, and whose hearts and then their bodies had been turned to stone. And she brings them all back to life. And so she comes down the mountain with her brothers and everybody rejoicing. It's a renaissance. And it's like, whoa! And the world begins to bloom. And humans understand the language of birds and animals, and the singing tree is like, whoa, and it's probably a waxing full moon and the waters of life. And it so happens that the Sultan is walking through the forest and sees this celebratory hubbub, and he finds their house and goes, huh, and he has a curious attraction. And the talking bird says to Parizada, "Serve the Sultan cucumbers and pearls." And she's like, "Okay, whatever you say." And the Sultan says, "This is passing strange, you know, cucumbers and pearls." And the talking bird says, This is passing strange, but a woman giving birth to a hedgehog, a wombat, and a serpent is not strange. And he goes, oh, you are my children. I was a terrible person. Let me haul your mother out of prison. Oh, my goodness. And the world blooms again. There we go. There we go. So, yes. And so here we are. May we be that. You know, may we be all the characters. May we be Parizada. May we see the waters of life. You know, may we sprinkle them in reciprocal blessing on all those whose hearts had turned to stone and then their bodies because they could not resist reacting. Polarity, hot polarity. We go, ah. So I love my ally, frequent guest of show, Syria reporter Deborah Felma says, and I never tire of saying this, she says, in the West, we think of the future in front of us and the past in back of us, invisible, who cares? She said, but in the Middle East, it's the reverse, reversal magic. She says, in the Middle East, we are gazing at the past in front of us. These reversals of perspective are very liberating. And we are crafty, and the future is invisible. No fixed future. It's mutable. What we do now matters enormously. And we are crafting the future by gazing at the caravan of our past mentors. So who shall we see coming down the mountain with us, you know, both as Parizada, sprinkling the waters of life on all of us whose hearts have turned to stone? And this moon, this full moon, is very John Lewis. His chart, his life, so etched, so embodied. And he did leave his last, and it's only a year and a little bit that he died, so powerful. And there's nothing more potent than his words to us now, read by his great friend, Morgan Freeman.
While my time here has now come to an end, I want you to know that in the last days and hours of my life, you inspired me. You filled me with hope about the next chapter of the great American story when you used your power to make a difference in our society. Millions of people motivated simply by human compassion laid down the burdens of division. Around the country and the world, you set aside race, class, age, language, and nationality to demand respect for human dignity. That is why I had to visit Black Lives Matter Plaza in Washington, though I was admitted to the hospital the following day. I just had to see and feel it for myself that after many years of silent witness, the truth is still marching on. Emmett Till was my George Floyd. He was my Rayshard Brooks, Sandra Bland, and Breonna Taylor. He was 14 when he was killed, and I was only 15 years old at the time. I will never, ever forget the moment when it became so clear that he could easily have been me. In those days, fear constrained us like an imaginary prison, and troubling thoughts of potential brutality committed for no understandable reason were the bars. Though I was surrounded by two loving parents, plenty of brothers, sisters, and cousins, their love could not protect me from the unholy oppression waiting just outside that family circle. Unchecked, unrestrained violence and government-sanctioned terror had the power to turn a simple stroll to the store for some Skittles or an innocent morning jog down a lonesome country road into a nightmare. If we are to survive as one unified nation, we must discover what so readily takes root in our hearts that could rob Mother Emanuel Church in South Carolina of her brightest and best, shoot unwitting concert goers in Las Vegas, and choke to death the hopes and dreams of a gifted violinist like Elijah McClain. Like so many young people today, I was searching for a way out, or some might say a way in. And then I heard the voice of Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. on an old radio. He was talking about the philosophy and discipline of nonviolence. He said we are all complicit when we tolerate injustice. He said it is not enough to say it will get better by and by. He said each of us has a moral obligation to stand up, speak up, and speak out. When you see something that is not right, you must say something. You must do something. Democracy is not a state. It is an act. And each generation must do its part to help build what we call the beloved community. A nation and world society at peace with itself. Ordinary people with extraordinary vision can redeem the soul of America by getting in what I call good trouble, necessary trouble. Voting and participating in the democratic process are key. The vote is the most powerful nonviolent change agent you have in a democratic society. You must use it because it is not guaranteed. You can lose it. You must also study and learn the lessons of history because humanity has been involved in this soul-wrenching existential struggle for a very long time. People on every continent have stood in your shoes through decades and centuries before you. The truth does not change, and that is why the answers worked out long ago can help you find solutions to the challenges of our time. Continue to build union between movements stretching across the globe, because we must put away our willingness to profit from the exploitation of others. Though I may not be here with you, I urge you to answer the highest calling of your heart and stand up for what you truly believe. In my life, I have done all I can to demonstrate that the way of peace, the way of love and nonviolence, is the more excellent way. Now it is your turn to let freedom ring. When historians pick up their pens to write the story of the 21st century, let them say that it was your generation who laid down the heavy burdens of hate at last, and that peace finally triumphed over violence, aggression, and war. So I say to you, walk with the wind, brothers and sisters, and let the spirit of peace and the power of everlasting love be your guide.
And so, nothing more potent than being handed the baton from John Lewis. Every word, the highest calling of our heart. It is so now, it is so now. And people's charts respond to transits, you know, just now and right now, Jupiter, the intelligence of storytelling and blessing is right on John Lewis's sun. He's speaking to our hearts. And this Leo Pisces conversation that resonates, meaning it's not performance, it's magic dedicated to collective well-being. You know, it's magic disguised as performance or magic disguised as radio, right? So powerful. Say something. Democracy, the beloved community, poignancy. I mean, every word he speaks elicits profound, resonant feeling and the aspiration. And that this man wrote that, it was published at his time on the day of his funeral, while he was dying. To be so crafted, to be so embracing of the micro and the macro, you know, of Sandra Bland, who had, you can find her incredible spoken word, such an exquisite being, as all are that he mentions, all of us. You know, and it's also, he really does invoke, as Deborah Felma says, you know, we are crafting the future by gazing at the caravan of our past mentors. Those who've gone, those who were, you know, killed by cruelty, but who are here with us, this powerful full moon resonance, you know. And as we convened, 11 plus Leo was overhead, which is the undercover agent secret degree, and positive intrigue. We want positive intrigue and good trouble, absolutely. And Richard Farina says, take the zircon to Fapa and tell him we move tonight. And we go, right. And it is all of our tasks. Saturn was asked what Saturn's definition of maturity was, and he goes, well, here's one version. To have access to all of our resources. It's like, well, that's pretty good. That's a good start. You know, resources, not just money, doesn't exclude money either, but enormous wealth. This station, this show, you know, pays no money, you know, exactly, but enormous wealth. It's all of you. I've been so honored in myriad ways, you know, again, reciprocal blessing, once in a ladies' room at a KPFA craft fair, and somebody in one of the stalls said, I know that voice, talking to me, and said, and this really just super dazzling hip black woman emerged, and she goes, I'm 30, and I started listening to you when I was 16. You raised me. I'm like, oh, God, that's the most fabulous. That's really, thank you. So, yeah, reciprocal blessing. May it go well with you and people, you know, growing up. And so we are inciting, encouraging full moon, you know, our hands on the tiller, our sails up, you know, to pledge to this worthy station and to keep the Visionary Activist Show going with its myriad, so much gold of storytellers in the 25 years of archives. Some are on cassette tapes, some we redeemed from, you know, CDs, some were in hidden archives, right? But I've put together, you know, a pretty fun collection, The World Belonged to Storytellers, Part 1, Part 2 next week, The Visionary Activist Show Collection. You can pledge for that by calling 1-800-439-5732. That's 1-800-439-5732, or pledging online, kpfa.org. So that includes a number of cool things. Scheherazade Saves the World, Winter Solstice 2001, still pretty resonant with fabulous Stephen Kent. Oh, God, he had such a great show on the station. On Didgeridoo, and Ida Maxime, his fabulous wife, singing Moaning Beauty into the World. It's the first of the Scheherazade series and gives a more full version of Scheherazade and Princess Parizade. My pretty good presentation at Bioneers, well, pretty darn good presentation at Bioneers 2019. That's the last Bioneers that there was so far. We'll see. Sufi Akito, Bodhisattva Trickster Guide to Brewing Underworld Medicine. What gets us through the underworld? I earned those things and proffer them. Redemption lies in brewing medicine for others. So no matter how difficult or daunting our task, if we brew it into a gift to everybody, it's part of our redemption. It's part of us participating in whatever in bringing the world back to in with Parizade, with Scheherazade, that we dissolve the template of despotism as no longer available in the human repertoire. Yes, impossible things. That's good. Many guests on this show, scientists, and all say, yeah, if we paddle together, we can do impossible things. And then in this collection, there's also the story of Mush Gilgusha, the remover of all difficulties that I record. In the Balinese rice paddy in the middle of the night when the seminar I was teaching with Rick Levine was sort of breaking into petty intrigue, going, oh, we need magic of the story. There we go. So it's pretty darn cute. So it was in a rice paddy in Bali late at night with night sounds, geckos, and the Balinese gods happy to speak. Then I found the fantastic show with Naomi Shihab Nye, fantastic Arab poetess, Ode to Kindness, right? The Venusian heroine within us all, kindness. So that was great. And then one of my favorite humans in the world, so essential, the sine qua non of Renaissance, Janine Benyus, and the show on biomimicry from October 16th, 2008. Really fabulous, though. She gave me so much that I still use. Oh, Janine, what is vertical integrated hierarchy, this biological term? And she said, oh, it's this beautiful thing in nature. It means everything in nature contains the plan of the larger thing it's a part of. And this is what makes for nature's ingenuity, resilience, and self-assembling. And she was very happy for me to turn scientific fact into guiding metaphor. Very wonderful science, soul of poet, great human, Biomimicry Institute. Just Google it, absolutely. Fantastic website that she and E.O. Wilson made, asknature.org. It's a great website. It comes up with a question box. You type in any question you have, and it tells you how nature solves that design problem. We are so wealthy. We are so wealthy with access and teammates and allies. We want to keep these places where we gather, like the Visionary Activist Show, like KPFA, you know, alive and with the waters of life, also known as money. Money wants to hang out with good people. And, you know, in the spirit of the fun March Piercy's fun poem, An Ode to Wild Money, here it is, imperfectly quoted, you know, I will rub my hands with honey and run through the vaults of banks. You know, come, money. You know, I will not lock you up in dark trust funds or clanking whatever it is, you know, backstage grown-up things. No, soon you'll be free to join others of your kind. Come, money, and build a murmuring swarm in my purse. Come, money, and build an extravagant, hilarious, jolly full moon hive in KPFA's whatever it is, purser, hall, hive. There you go. KPFA's hive. Absolutely, by calling 1-800-439-5732. You can have all these things, but wait, there's more. So Janine was happy for me to say, and I say to all of us, including myself, as we clarify at this time, you know, what are we dedicated to? The inner dedication strengthens our outward signal. So we're more likely, as Jean says, to be danced into the larger thing that we're a part of. This is where we want to go. This hearteningness. This thunderstorm brings relief to parched fields. This rainbow after a storm. This quality, these metaphors abounding while being fully informed. Wendell Berry says, be jaunty, even though fully informed. So also part of this fantastic collection we put together is Karen Brown, wonderful, 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 The Story of Etsy. And it's just, again, restoring intimacy to the world in all these micro ways. You know, it's so good. It's the story of her sweater, in which she meets the llamas, right, who make the wool. And then she meets the woman who cards it on her bicycle. And then she meets the designer, you know, in Berkeley. And then she meets the weaver. And then she, all the things, and there it is, you know. But it's a fantastic, the resurrection of community spirit through shared traditions. I love that show. And then G. Willow Wilson, genius person, to honor her book, Alice the Unseen, Every Innovation Begins with Fantasy. It's the Arabian Nights, Jinn, computer code interweaving with Arab Spring and more. It's a pretty, I love this collection, you know, and it can be yours. It can be yours easily for a pledge of the grown-ups at the station, say $75. I like $80 for fun, or $123.45, or some hilarious, fantastic, mirth-inducing amount for this collection. 800-439-5732 or kpfa.org would be splendiferous. And Chris, fantastic colleague, part of the wealth of KPFA, is standing by. Bless. Hello, darling.
Hello, my dear. You don't stop now. I'm just sort of wallowing in everything that you're saying. It's just perfect. It's because I'm in a drought, and this is wonderful.
We want to restore the waters of life through the power of story.
What did you say, jaunty in the face of what did Wendell Berry say?
Be jaunty, no matter how fully informed.
Yes, that's the one.
We are dedicated to being fully informed, gazing at danger, and then drawing on all of our resources, our action, our vision, visionary activists, there we go, all of that. We have so many ways and language. Each, we expand our vocabulary, expands our forms of participatory availability. There we go.
And that you are presenting this as a Scheherazadean event. It's what you do. That's exactly what you do every
yes.
week. It's just
right.
it's
so
wonderful.
We have a few people to thank. Yes. Anonymous in Richmond. Oh, good. Oh, an $80 pledge. How adorable. Happy birthday, Visionary Activist Show. It's true. Michael in San Francisco, thank you so much. Somebody anonymous in Palo Alto pledged $120, which is very kind for Marshall Rosenberg. Good. Marshall's good. Not a trickster.
Indeed.
You know. But what the hell? Not everybody can be a trickster. Fabulous. Anonymous in
Salt
Spring.
He's very serious.
Well, I'm going to put a whole collection together of in which I call myself the curmudgeon whisperer. He could go in that, possibly.
Yes.
But then Anonymous from Salt Spring Island. I love Salt Spring Island.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
British Columbia. Yip, yip to Caroline Casey and KPFA, Rainbow Road fan of Scheherazade. Wonderful. Anonymous. Everybody's anonymous. I love Anonymous. And Ventura.
Favorite.
I love Ventura. The world belongs to the storytellers. And a wonderful anonymous in San Francisco. That's great. All right, so we're a little ways there, but let's make this really hilarious and astounding and deep. And I mean, I could just every word that John Lewis said or Morgan Freeman channeling him was so powerful. We want to feel ourselves etched against that kind of embodied dedication. It's like, and kindness, earned. Yeah, good trouble. Jaunty, though super informed, and I loved him honoring everyone. Well, anyway, so the baton is passed to us, and we do want to woof. And
I also want to honor Caroline's work at putting these collections together, because as someone who has talked to many people over the years, I have no idea how I would draw any of that together and put it. And so it's a blessing that she has made it accessible not only the first time, but now here in this compact place where you can listen to it again and again, as opposed to sort of wafting through your life in an instant, as the program tends to do. It's a wonderful, wonderful gift, and I love that she says that should be a nice, round, and hilarious number. Whatever you can afford, bottom line, I think $70 with the powers that be say, and
no,
this collection
75.
Is yours at 1-800-439-5732, or better yet, cheaper for us and faster is kpfa.org. That's the place to go to pledge for sure. 1-800-439-5732 and online at kpfa.org. This is a once-in-a-lifetime opportunity. Caroline doesn't do this all the time, okay? And she's the only one that does. So it's really special.
And we should also say that our blessed station, Storytelling for Social Change, that's good. We go, that's what we've been doing for 25 years. Thank you, station. But they are offering, you know, for any amount, you know, $5, $3.50, any amount, you get access to you know more than I do. Storytelling for Social Change.
Yes.
It includes Herbie Hancock, Carla Santana, Bobby Seale, cool, Haitian American writer Edwidge Dandekat, and Bayard Rustin. So for any amount at all. Oh, look, we're doing a little better, but I'd love to see the phones light up. I want to thank Kenneth in South San Francisco, who pledged for a portable personal water filter. Yes, the waters of life. The waters of life. That's really good. That's good. But let's go for really fun, deep, dedicated, you know, as we dedicate. And on this full moon, you know, it is trickster dollars. They're alive. They will breed and multiply. They will come back to you in reciprocal blessing. Who knows, you know? So we're offering this. But for any amount, you get the whole KPFA, whatever it's called.
Storytelling for Social Change.
Thank you. Thank you very much. There we go. And for $80, $75, whatever, you get the, wherever I was, the Visionary Activist, World Belongs to the Storytellers. There we go. By calling 1-800-439-5732. Or pledging kpfa.org. That would be super, super great. And it would be super fun to see all this kind of light up. We're doing pretty good, pretty okay, but we have 10 minutes. And may they be rich and full. You know, some things are always true, but there are times when they're truer. You know, and this is just a particularly effective time for each person to say, you know, where do I want to jump into, you know, reciprocal blessing? Where am I willing to do the daunting thing of not reacting and not having my heart turned to stone, but to bring back the talking bird, the singing tree, and the waters of life? Or where do I want the waters of life to be sprinkled on me? We can think of the Visionary Activist Show or KPFA as sprinkling the waters of life on all those who are too grumpy by knowing too much but not being whatever. Oh, great. Scott in Berkeley pledged a witty amount. That's fantastic. Thank you. That's feeling more fun. Let's go. That's really good. And so there's, you know, what is it to be human? We go, it might be to discern the pattern of evolutionary intelligence, the liveliest possibility available at any moment, and animate that. There's a lot to animate here, all secret agents. And you adorable Chris are one of those as well. We've been here a long time.
And it's you know, I think about my COVID life, and I'm very hermity, And I've spent a lot of time reading or escaping, trying to escape, just sort of hiding out. And when I'm on the air, when I have to be on the radio, when I have to hear someone else's voice beyond my housemates here, my family, it brings me back to life in a way, instead of just the hiding thing. And the COVID hermiting thing has been so compelling and so, I don't know,
I want to trickster play with that just for fun, because everything can be liberating or imprisoning. Everything, mythology, the news, astrology, I mean, whatever. And so I, with my team, I like this jaunty little thing, have to get to, right? Because to outsource Saturn, and it creates, resistance, because we're anti-authoritarians, and therefore procrastination, and therefore dread and fear. But get to is the Jupiter storytelling thing. We get to do a show. We get to dynamic audit. We get to do a fun drive by Jiminy. Yes, we get to do that. And then, it's what you mentioned is one of the things I've worked with self and others. Solitude is freedom. Hiding is prison. They can look the same, but they feel different. So all of us, let's throw hiding into the cauldron, right? And leave our autonomy and our solitude, right? And just see what's left. Olly, olly, income free. It's time for everybody to come out of their witness relocation program. There we go. Oh, great. Catherine in Oakland. Right, no matter what we call ourselves, it's still a cover. Come on out of witness relocation program. The safety lies in everybody coming out. Inquisition over if we make it so. Terrible things going on in the world, but it's safer to come out as an animist and a dedicated heart and a lover of John Lewis and a agent of Scheherazade than not, right?
Yes.
So that's pretty good. All right,
that's
team. All right. But we're still doing, it's a trickle. I'd like it to be a stream, a stream of resources and money coming to KPFA and the Visionary Activist Show so that we don't flood. There we go.
Amen.
We want the right kind of water. All of our metaphors and language for money are all water, cash flow, liquidity, rising tide, red ink, all of that. And so with the economist. Oh, great. Thank you, Ellen. The world belongs to the storytellers. Keep the stories coming. I love them. Thank you, Waking My Heart. That's good. We're almost in four figures. Come on, team. It's not pathetic, but we can do better. but that's to honor everybody. So let's throw hiding into the cauldron and everybody coming out as their true selves, uncringing, where the speak truth, be power, just the change of one word. Why fool around? Let's do magic right then. So we love that.
Yes. 1-800-439-5732. If you use the telephone, you can also go online at kpfa.org, which we heartily recommend. And whatever you do, you're going to be very, very happy because you're going to be getting storytellers. If you pledge for Caroline's brilliant collection, which is available only through Caroline, only here, then that is a $75 donation.
Yeah, $75. We think $80 is more fun, or $5,000 would be really
weird. Excellent. Yes, whatever.
let's amaze the grown-ups. Why not? Not that money is necessarily a criterion, but it's useful. We want to make friends with
tool.
It.
It's a tool. Exactly.
Oh, Blessed Anonymous in Sebastopol. They pledged $80 because it's magic. It strengthened the fool. That's really great. Thank you. Thank you so much. We're in four figures. That we can do it, team. Let's go for five. No. Anyway.
Whatever.
Impossible things are good. Waikuki Kongi, wonderful guest of show, Maori elder, who said, yes, trickster mother. And I go, I think you're 2 years younger than me. Can I still be your mother? Yes. Can I say I have a Maori son? Yes. And he's a master builder and a wise thing. So he says, if we all, I have a son who's 2 years younger than me, a Maori wise person, but he's fantastic chanting and drum. And if we all row together, we can do impossible things, right? Each person on this rising full moon tide and in our little boat, hand on tiller plus rowing. I don't know. We're mixing metaphors, but it'll do. You get the gist of it. Some people are on paddleboards. Some people are on kayaks. Some people are in canoes. Some people are just swimming with flippers.
Some people are
dolphins.
Surfing.
Surfing, yeah, surfing, yes. In, like Kuan Yin, you know, in deep reverie with one foot forward so she can leap and respond appropriately, surfing in, you know, on this big wave. So to see that is to animate the magic. That's great. Oh, that's so great. Brad in Redwood City, thank you, thank you, thank you. She wants the, that's right, he's going for the collection, the storytelling collection.
Yes,
you'll be delighted for eons, really.
Yes, exactly.
Each one is really pretty essentially useful for now. So there we go, that's really good. And Patricia, a witty amount, very wonderful. Patricia in Montala, California. Thank you. That's really great.
It's not all that different from other times, lest we forget. It seems that way because we're in the middle of it. But if we had been in the middle of the 1700s or the 1300s or the 1100s, I think we would have found many similarities, unfortunately.
Oh, wait. And there's Jerome in Arizona. A small, enormous donation. Been with Caroline, Visionary Activist Show, from the beginning. Bless
wow.
you.
Very
funny.
Yay.
Okay, we're getting down there. I'm always grateful for the backstage team, the likes of Kirsten Thomas, you know, quintessential bard op. So wonderful. But let's keep it rolling. We've got maybe a minute if the gods are generous. You know, there's such a wealth of teams here, and it is a resonance. The moon in Capricorn exactly trines where the sun was when this show began September 5th, 1996. Pledge to keep it going, and the wealth of ingenuity and Renaissance contributors, critique and solution in myriad forms. Science with heart, all of that contributing, because it's dangerous. It's dangerous now, and that's why we want to really heed John Lewis's words, you know, and voting, you know, and we love that, you know, Frederick Douglass, Amanda Gorman, John Lewis, all Pisces, and we go, right, it is the coolest time ever to be a Pisces, tragic, romantic, melancholy, no, look at what they did, they transformed grief into dedication to collective well-being, Frederick Douglass, Amanda Gorman, John Lewis, thank you, you know, and we're pledging to be more like what we admire, more like Frederick Douglass, who voted for the first time age 21, and whose whole life was voting, John Lewis as well, Amanda Gorman, fabulous, a living colleague, and we go right. So Pisces to Leo, it's all of our skills dedicated to collective well-being.
So much wisdom in all of this, you gentlemen.
And now we're going out. Not terrible, team. You can keep pledging at 1-800-439-5732 or online kpfa.org. Thanks so much to Kirsten Thomas and to you, Chris Welsh, you adorable, fun person. Oh, Anonymous in Richmond, thank gods for you skidding in. Love the Visionary Activist. All right, we're doing pretty good. Another little magic number would be fun. Just okay, and we're on our way out. We will reconvene next week for even more deep, delving, good, trouble, jaunty, trickster fun. Thanks, team.